morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. In case you haven't guessed, this is my public safety week. We've had the DA, we've had the sheriff, and now we have the chief of police of Pittsfield, someone I have the highest regard for. He walked the beat. He rode in the cruiser. He just didn't assume the position, as they say. But anyhow, his name is Chief Thomas Dolly. Chief, good afternoon, or good morning, I guess.
Good afternoon. Well, good morning to,
to our guest. Yeah, we are recording this on Tuesday, and the whatever today is, when you get to be my age, they just 14th. It will air next week. I like to do this about once a quarter. Have the public safety people come on. I had Chief Sammons a couple weeks ago because of the decorations and over all that stuff. So, Chief, we got through a pretty quiet holiday period.
Well, you know, as you know, Bill, being past law enforcement, we don't enjoy using the Q word.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It was a very safe holiday for everybody. And, you know, I hope everybody enjoyed themselves over this holiday season and everybody was safe. And, you know, we're 24/7, so officers are always
right. Yeah, no, and I can remember back when I was on, those were tough times. You had your own family. I had, kid and family, and but you still had to go to work, and you had to give it 100%, and sometimes you were very busy.
That's what we signed up for.
Yep. And, you know, you've got a great crew going there now. I had the DA on, and he really enjoys working with this department, your department.
Yeah, it's certainly a breath of fresh air now to get the support in all of Berkshire County with law enforcement, with DA Shagru and his team.
Yeah,
we're doing an outstanding job, and you know, I take the accolades when we can.
And as well you should. And so, what are you finding the most of now? What's your biggest thorn in your side?
Staffing.
Yeah.
Staffing is, you know, staffing, we're always trying to catch our tail, Bill, with our staffing. You know, there's three pending retirements this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're trying to, and you know, from the time you hire somebody from the list until the time they get out of the FTO program, which is out of the academy, you're talking a good year.
Yeah.
To get a new officer on. And time is typically never on our side. With civil service, trying to get the requisitions across the street from human resources. They're busy. So there's a lot going on with that aspect of things. Of course, you know, during this time of year, we're at the halfway point of our fiscal year. You know, things start getting tight, you know, especially this fiscal year, we had some of our budget cut from the city, from our budget. So, you know, there's a lot of challenges, and I'm still trying to fill my first line and my command staff. You know, so
yeah. And what I think, just not people need to understand, to run a police department, you have to have so many people on the street per shift.
It's a safety issue.
Absolutely safe. And to do that, you have to have the personnel. And this is me, Bill, saying this. I've often had to turn the TV off when I watched the budgetary hearings, and they questioned both the police chief and the fire chief and other civil. How come you went over your budget? Well, police and fire, they get injured.
Yes.
Nobody can build that in. And people retire in the civil service system. Bill Sturgeon believes this. I'm not speaking for the chief or the department. Bill Sturgeon believes that the civil service system is archaic and really not functioning as it should. We shouldn't have to wait for a year to get put a cop on the street.
Yeah. It's a quite lengthy process between the background checks, the hiring, the vetting. The academy is 20 something weeks now. Then our FTO program's another, say, 16 weeks or so, maybe 15 weeks. So, and once we know that there's an academy coming up, I think there's one, the next one's coming up in July. We got to start now. Actually, we should have started last year, requesting a list from civil service to start doing background checks and get them into their physical agility tests and their screenings. And there's a lot that goes on before the first day of the academy. The uniforms, the equipment that they need. It's a lot. And a lot of times, with the city or the community, that what you were saying about attacking the first responders' budgets, whether it be fire or police, it's usually, first thing is usually overtime, as you know. And a lot of these collateral duties that these officers do, and I can give you a list of them. We have so many different units going on. It's in addition to their patrol functions. If we didn't have these additional duties, like our anti-crime unit, our downtown patrol, our bike patrol, our drone, our new drone program that we have,
Oh, cool.
all these are collateral duties to these patrol officers. So there's a lot going on. We're very busy, and I don't know if you remember, Bill. I think it was last year, maybe the year before, when the officers got their raises. Their overdue raises, that wasn't factored into the overtime. So, you're now you're off balance a little bit. So you're over under. But I'm trying to be fiscally responsible. I'm watching the budget as best as I can. And the last thing I want to do is go in front of city council in June or July and say, hey, I need more money. Last year, we made out, we did very well with our budget. We kept it within the parameters, and I'm planning on doing the same this year if I can.
And there's always the unforeseen. It's like I watched the DPW guys through the years. How come you spent so much over money on salt? Well, we weren't predict we're using rat a formula, but we got 28 more inches of snow this year.
Yeah.
It you
That's big.
can't.
Yeah.
And I will say this just quickly. We've had a lot of these pop-up storms and bad and bad. I hats off to the city's DPW. Hats off. That's all I'm
They
going
have
to
been
say.
on. They have been great.
Unbelievable. This morning I got up in the early. And there was the street black already, William Street. And yes, no, and I know there's going to be griping, but I got big shoulders. I'll handle it. I stand up for the city workers any day.
And that's an observation and opinion of yourself. Obviously, the city or the department heads can do a million things correct, and you get one or two things that maybe could have been done better, and you catch heat for it. So.
And they have to, a lot of people have to remember, and your job and the Chief Salmon's job and even the public works guy, something happens, you got to respond to it immediately. You can't say, oh, let me sit down and think about what should I do. No, it's instantaneous. And I think looking at what you guys have done in the arrest that you've made in the time and the I mean, you got a great operation there. And I can speak, I've been all over the world. I've worked with police departments and sheriff's departments and fire departments all over the world. And I'm very proud of what Little Pittsfield does.
Yeah, we do a great job. We are by far probably one of the, and this is a biased opinion on myself and my department, is one of the best trained and educated departments out there. And we, the training is one of the cornerstones of police work. You know, you got to keep up.
Absolutely.
And to have the officers able to do not just the regular in-service training that we're required to do every year, but a lot of the officers go outside and do the specialized different things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's we've been busy. I mean, you see this.
Well, I listen to the scanner. That's what, when you get old like me and you're tired of the malarkey on television.
You turn on that.
Yeah, and your sports teams are just getting their butt kicked. You turn the scanner on.
Yeah.
It brings you back to reality.
No, it's a busy city, to say the least. You know, I have a crime analysis that puts up the stats on our website every month. It appears at face value that things are going down. There are some things that are spiking.
Yeah.
The property, you know, larcenies and shopliftings and stuff like that. And it's not that we're not doing anything. It's just spiking. We're responding. We're doing the appropriate action, but it's all statistics, you know?
And you got to take your hat off to DA Shugrue, who has this retail crime unit going and is prosecuting these people. Where before, if it wasn't $1 billion or whatever, it wasn't you know, and I just, again, divert a little bit. When you're a small, my wife and I own my teacher's closet. We ran it on North Street, then out at the mall. If somebody comes in and shoplifts, say, a $15 box of flashcards, now that may not seem much, maybe not prosecuted, but to us, that could have been an hour's sales.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you have to pass that loss on to your consumers.
Yeah, and they're only going to pay so much.
Exactly. You know? But that the DA has a great program going. It has cut down theft dramatically.
Yeah.
And it just, you know what it comes down to, Bill, to be honest with you? It's communication. The communication between us and the retailers. What are they seeing? What do they need from us?
Yeah.
And how do we, you know, let's face it, you probably will never stop it.
No. No,
but
you gotta be realistic.
You can certainly reduce it dramatically, and then that's not getting passed on to the consumer.
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, the this goes back a long time. When Big Y used to hire a cop, I can remember them. The term was by the people eating in. They would go into the store, order like a pound of roast beef and eat it within the whole store and throw the wrapper behind something or box it.
And not pay for it.
And not pay for it. No, just walk out.
Yeah.
And, so retail crime has become very organized and sophisticated, and people are making a lot of money off of stealing.
Yes.
And the police and the DA's office and the feds, they're all on top of this. And again, in fairness to the PD, if you're going to complain about them, listen to that scanner for just, I have to listen a couple hours, and their calls are backing up. They're out straight. Nobody's, and I hate this reference, Dunkin' Donuts. You know,
yeah. Fortunately, there's no time. I mean, there is some downtime where you're able to, and if you're not answering calls, you're trying to get caught up on
reports
and, you know, filling in the calls for service and getting those updated. So you're always kind of doing something, you know, checking your beat. So
yeah,
there's always something going on.
Do you know what and maybe this is unfair, but what's the biggest change you've seen? You've been on the job a while. What's the biggest change you've seen?
In policing or this department?
In policing in general, from what it used to be, people would greet us on the street. Hi, how's it going? You know, but now it's whole anti-police thing.
Yeah, you know, there's, you know, they look at policing under the fisheye, you know, and where something happens somewhere else in our nation, you know, which would be an unfortunate thing. But they label all the officers under that same umbrella. And it's not fair to the officers that really get up and work hard and try to do the good thing. And, you know, for something that happens in some other part of our country and it affects communities out this way, you know, people start looking at the officers in a different light. They're not going to be seen talking to the police. They're not going to be want to say hi to the police officers or engage with the police department just because of something else that happens somewhere else. You know, slowly I'm trying to get my officers more incorporated with the community, to get out there, you know, to speak with their residents, to speak with people on their beats. But, you know, it's difficult because at the same time, you're still answering the calls because the call volume is up. So it's kind of like a trade-off where you have to find the sweet spot in that. You know, I always tell the community if there's something going on and you want us to go, call my office, call the officers, call the desk, say, there's a function going on. I think it'd be nice to have the police officers there just to say hi.
You know, one of the others, you can pass this on if you want to. While they're out doing the road jobs, if somebody waves at you, wave back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're trying to tell you they appreciate you. And that's just, I mean, I learned that from a former chief, Stanley Stankiewicz.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lanesboro.
No, he was chief in Pittsfield.
Oh, chief in Pittsfield. Okay.
Yeah. He was chief when I was there and Hanault and all that old crew. But he used to say, you're out working these road jobs, you could be the PR for the station, for the department.
Right.
And it's true.
It's free advertising.
Yeah. 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 No, it you know, if you let the media paint the picture of the police, they're going to paint you as stern and enforcing. Rather than, hey, how's it going? Good. How's it going with you?
Yeah. It's certainly different from when I started, but there's a different generation of police officers that are getting bred to do this job. And, you know, you really got to know how to manage the newer officers and the newer generation of officers, as well as manage the veterans. So, you know, you got to find that balance. That's one of the challenges right now is balancing the newer officers and their ideologies and their the way of their process of thinking with the veteran officers.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you bang heads and it happens. But as long as each one is listening to the other person, no one's right. You just got to listen.
Yeah, and you're right. You're so right. The generational changes, even, you know, I mean, when I went on, there were the World War II guys, you know, and they never went to an academy. They just were taught by the guy that broke them in. And I will tell you, they were, and I realized maybe I was a little bit older, but I realized they're a wealth of knowledge, but you had to ask them.
Yeah, they kept it close to the vest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you ask them, they were very forthcoming. And I learned as much from them as I did from any college course.
Yeah.
You know, I went into a quick, and I'm sure I don't want to take your time, to a situation where there was an alcohol involved, kind of, and the way the senior guy handled that, no force was used. And I thought for sure we were going to be in a Donnybrook. But he took the time, you know, he didn't have to jump on it. You've been in it.
We're getting trained daily, weekly, monthly, yearly on de-escalation techniques. And it's working.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't work and we have to use force.
Exactly.
But for the most part, you know, it's good listening skills, good communication skills. You know, we have co-responders now. We have officers that are trained in CIT training, de-escalation, specialized de-escalation. So, We're trying to, our plates get full with all these things, and we just, it's a toolbox build that we use.
Yeah. And I think what you have too, Chief, that we had it perhaps, but we weren't trained to recognize it. You are. And that
Correct.
was mental illness.
It's prevalent, very prevalent in our community. And we a lot of times this funnels down to the police,
Yeah.
because there's so many resources out there, or lack of, depends what's who you talk to. It always comes down to the police. We have a job as police officers to police our community, but then they also look upon us for mental health stuff. And we try to find the balance in between those two things, because if they're not getting the help from the resources, it does come down to us, and we got to wear multi hats.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no, absolutely no question about it. I have to read this. Just come on the screen. Pay your fast track lane toll by January 14th or be charged extra fines and keep your license active.
Oh,
This is the new one, folks. The chief
you
will
got the
back me
scam,
up.
huh?
I've been getting it for, I put it up on Facebook like 2 days ago.
Yeah, I believe we did too, as well.
Yeah, you got, no, you guys are, but I'm just saying, here's a new twist now. They're going to take your license.
Good
Now,
luck.
yeah. But, again, going back to what you guys are doing and the DA, working with the elderly, people see that and they panic and they go right on and do whatever they say.
No, it's unfortunate, but we're,
I do
we're
want to thank you. I do want to thank too what you it's new since I believe since you come on, and that is when there's an incident you put it out on Facebook, the report kind of thing, Lieutenant Soles or one of the captains, that's keep I think that's brilliant. I have to tell you, I think that's brilliant.
That was one of my directives when I got in, Bill, is being upfront with the community, and if there's something going on, just get it out there. Just put it out
Yeah.
there. If there's obviously there's things that we cannot put on there.
Right.
A lot of the open investigations and stuff
Yeah.
like that. But I want the community to see what goes on behind the scenes, and to show what the officers are doing, whether it's a good arrest that maybe a
Yeah.
firearm was secured as evidence, or whatever
Yeah.
it is. Why not put it out there,
Yeah, and but in the old days was everything was close to the vest. And so you're right, during ongoing investigations or whatever, they're close to the vest.
They have to be.
Once an arrest has been effected, and I like the way they come out. I think it's a brilliant way to educate the community. This is what we're doing on a daily basis.
Yeah. So we're trying to get those out there. Anything that goes on with the Pittsfield Police, we try to get out there, whether it be awards or promotions.
Yeah, that's good too. Yeah.
I push that out to the community just to know what's going on with us.
Sure. And what do you before we get to break, what do you think the status is? Is the department going to stay in civil service? Is it going to leave? What is there any feel for that yet?
So there is talk about getting out of civil service, but you hear the phrase you need an act of Congress.
Yeah.
Almost need an act of Congress to get out of civil service. But what civil service is doing now, and I'll probably get this all screwed up, because I still don't completely understand the process, what they want to do, but they want to hire like a 50-50. So if you say you're hiring four people, Bill,
Yeah.
two people would come off the civil service list, and two people would come off like it's called like an alternative pathway, where you can hire them
Yeah.
not on civil service. So I think if that goes forward, we're going to get a greater pool of candidates, because
Oh, yeah.
not everybody is good at taking tests. I know I wasn't.
No.
And a lot of times when they hear civil service test, they freeze. Even though they have a passion to do this job, they're like,
Yep.
I'm not going to do good on this test. I can't take a test.
Right.
The alternative pathways will give, we would give our own test and do our own hiring off, not associated with civil service.
Oh.
So that's something
Well,
that's going as
it's
well.
worth a trial period. That's for I would accept it under a trial period, see how it works.
Well, I think they went that way, Bill, was because a lot of people weren't signing up for civil service, so you couldn't
Oh,
get the.
absolutely. Absolutely.
And in Berkshire County, I know I'm one of the last civil service departments, but there may be a couple here and there, but there's not too many civil service. It's
Oh.
dying on the vine.
Well, they never modernized. They've never, in my, and this is just my opinion, I don't think they've ever modernized. They've ever fully understood. Maybe they have, but I don't think they fully understood the how cumbersome the process is, one, and two, how costly to the cities and towns. That's why they're leaving. They're leaving because they can't afford it anymore. Just like I don't think Pittsfield can continue to afford it.
Well, back, I can't remember when civil service started, but you might know when it started, but it was to eliminate any biases and prejudice.
Exactly. Yeah.
And
Political influence.
yeah, so a chief can't pick a fire chief or a police chief or any public servant can't be picked by the department head. Just like,
Right.
hey, Sturgeon, you're going to be, my next officer.
Right.
Set up that process with protections in order.
And I think it was post World War II. And then the veterans got their whatever 5 points or 10 points. Yeah. And then yeah, and then but civil service, even the test and the physical agility, that's changed dramatically from when I was on.
Yeah, it's funny because over 20 years ago, the physical agility test is the exact same one as they're held in today.
Wow.
The same test.
Do they have to
Same
still
course.
climb the rope and all that? Ring the bell?
I know they have to go over, they have to drag a weighted dummy, they have to
Yeah.
run a course, they have to mock jumping up over into a window the other side. I think there is some rope stuff involved. So it
Yeah,
hasn't changed that much.
and I think the courts, if I remember correctly, and you don't want to go by my memory because if you find my car, call me and tell me where it is. The courts challenged a lot of it, and they had to make it job related. That's where you get going through the
Correct.
window and all that. Because a lot of our stuff was just left over from military basic, But
Yeah.
I the what you're trying to do in this city, if correct me if I'm wrong, is you're a very open department now. I mean, you're sharing. You're open. That door is open. Your door is open, and I think that's a great way forward for the community, but also for the police to understand the community.
That's correct. I've been born and raised here,
Yep.
Bill. I see the changes that Pittsfield's going through or has gone through. And if I could just be a small part of its improvement, if the police department in general can be that small part of positivity and getting on the right track, then why not try it?
We have nothing to lose. We have everything to gain. That's how I look at it. And I think, as you're saying, you don't take offense at this. You're now of an older generation who've paid their dues on the street, responding to calls, giving up holidays, all that. The new group, if they're smart, will learn from you and your team and your
And I hope they, and if they have better ideas, I'm open to that too,
Yeah.
of handling things. I'm not closed-minded. I keep thing everything in perspective, and this is how we used to do it. Maybe it didn't work for us. Do you have an alternative?
Right.
And 9 out of 10 times, it's usually that way. It's like, you know what? That was actually a pretty good idea,
Yeah. Yeah.
and it works.
And before I go to break, I'll just say this. I can't, when we started doing stuff at PCTV and WTBR, some of the older members were like, "Wow, we tried that back and it didn't work." You know what it was? Society wasn't ready for it. It's a good idea and it works now. It didn't work then.
Didn't work back then.
Right.
You evolve.
We're going to take a break. I am honored and privileged, and I mean this sincerely. He's a great guy. He's a great cop. And he's, in my opinion, he's a great chief because he's been a good cop. And that's Chief Tom Dolly. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Remember, do something nice for somebody today. You'll feel it too. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
Do you have a favorite show on WTBRFM? Did you miss the last episode? We've got good news for you. Most of our shows are now available on podcast. You can subscribe to your favorite and have the latest episode downloaded to your device automatically on Apple, Google, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or Overcast. Go to WTBRFM.com/podcasting and find out more today. WTBRFM, for the love of radio.
Some news outlets tell you what to believe, and they limit your access to the whole story. Some of them are just plain ugly and mean. Social media is filled with rumors, misinformation, personal attacks. Where locally can you get the whole story, unfiltered, so that you can make informed decisions at the ballot box? There's really only one place. It's on PCTV. On cable, on the PCTV Select app, and at PittsfieldTV.org. The whole story since 1986. PCTV. See it all and decide for yourself.
Hello, Phil Tierney here, the host of Berkshire Jazz, where I play all the young tigers and old lions of jazz every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 on WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield Community Radio. Join me Saturday at 8. And if you know someone who likes and enjoys this great American classical music, tell them about us. Spread the word. Jazz is alive and well on WTBR 89.7. Thanks for listening.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is Community. And UCP of Western Mass. Turn passion into purpose when you apply at UCP of Western Mass, now offering full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. It's more than just a job, it's our identity. Apply today at ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. I'm here with Chief Dolly. He is the chief of the Pittsfield Police Department, but he's a seasoned police officer. And I don't mean that as a dispersion on anybody else, but I'm just saying he walked the beat. He drove the car. He answered the calls. He dealt with the drunks. When I was going, I'll share this with the people because Chief knows. When I was going through the police academy, they were telling us, now just remember, of course, when I was going through the police academy, lots of police departments still had horses. You can't have a legitimate discussion with a fool or a drunk. So as a police officer, make up your mind what you're going to do and just do it. Well, I don't deal with a lot of drunks anymore. But every so often I'll meet a fool that watched the program and didn't care for it. And I don't have the energy anymore. So I just go like this. Oh, sorry, I got to run. I think I go back to my police training on how to feel and be good to people and talk to people. And when you can't, disengage.
Yeah, it's hard to reason sometimes when someone's that intoxicated, as you know.
Yeah.
And like you said, you got to make a decision, just make it quick and do what you got to do to protect himself or herself and the community and the officer. You know,
and a lot of times you just said it's very important. People forget this. Police make decisions not only for the general safety of the public, but for the safety of the person they're interacting with.
Yeah.
You know, thank God they came up with the PC law.
Correct.
You know, sometimes we've run into people that are so plastered that you got to lock them up for their own safety.
Yeah. If they don't have a facility to go to or someone to care for them, you're out of options.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, you've seen it. I've seen it. And thank God for McGee and places like that, but they've been full sometimes.
They have been full. And, you know, it's very rare that we get a bed for somebody up there. And, you know, unfortunately, the liability falls on our shoulders because we take them back to the station just enough to, you know, to get them sobered up so they can go out and be on their own.
Yeah.
It's not that they're anything criminal. It's just for their own safety.
People have, that's why I brought this up, Chief, because people have to understand this, that the police is a multifunctioning agency. It enforces the law and it protects the citizens. You know the old saying, protect and serve? Well, if you read the blurbs that this police department puts out on their Facebook, you're going to see protect and serve an awful lot.
We definitely try, Bill. We definitely try. And, you know, it's, you know, you're going to have that small group that are anti-police and they're, you know, they don't trust the police, which is fine. That's their right. And, you know, I don't find it personal. I'm not offended by that. Everybody has their opinions, which is fine.
Yeah.
Whoever you are, just know that if you call us, we're still going to respond.
Yeah. And the other thing is this too, and I, with all this going on in the city, I would highly recommend that unless it's factual, you see the chief and I, our whole lives are based on facts, not innuendos, accusations. And I really think to tone down the rhetoric if you don't know what you're talking about. A lot of people's lives are at stake, kiddos' lives, parents' lives, reputations of people who may not even be involved in this thing. So that's just my little broadcast, Chief.
That's okay.
For what it's worth. No, I just get so you're hearing people in the grocery line at Big Y talking about I read the Eagle article.
Yeah.
They admit, well, I didn't read it, but here's what I heard.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a lot of rhetoric out there, a lot of accusations flying, but like you just said, you know, unless the facts and circumstances of evidence are presented to me, you know, I don't reply or answer to any social media. I don't, you know, accusations or, you know, anybody can accuse anybody of anything.
That's right.
You know,
and we've seen it.
So
I've seen it through my career. You've seen it through yours where there was poof, no facts.
Yeah. You're innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Unless you're on Facebook and then you're guilty until you're proven innocent.
you get it from there, you know.
Yeah. So as I asked before, when you started into today, the evolution of, as you came through the ranks, the difference, the old, my age guys, the old guys, they left it. And we were kids when those old guys left.
Right.
I won't say who, but we had a captain retire on Friday. Monday, he was back in the station at 8 o'clock in civilian clothes.
Yeah.
And they said, "Cap, what's going on?" Yeah. I didn't have any place to go.
Yeah, it's, you know, and you just kind of brought up a good point. When you're doing this job for many, many years, you assume an identity. And once you retire, Bill, you lose that identity. You lose who you are. You lose. And that's when the mental health really settles in with retired police officers, is they lose that identity. They lose that, you know, their command presence. They lose everything they've known for 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big pill to swallow for some people. You know, that's why you got to keep that mind busy. You got to have hobbies. You got to find things. You know, you don't have to stay into law enforcement, but
no,
you can peripherally be involved in helping out and volunteering, you know?
Yeah. So, well, that's why I do this. You have to have a reason to get up in the morning.
Correct.
And, yeah. and my retirement was abrupt. I had open heart surgery and that was it. It was done.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even a chance to say goodbye or whatever. But you're exactly right. And it's part of the almost like the military suicide. You know, they're still at 21 or 23 a day. But when you leave, the military is a way of life. Policing is a way of life. It's not just a job.
Correct.
And there's a camaraderie. And you're 100% right. And the other, and you can certainly disagree with me. But the other side of this coin is they expect police to be super, I don't want to say macho, but superhuman. We have feelings too. When I see a baby that's been beaten up or a woman that's been, I'm a human being.
Yes.
And I think somehow we have to open the window of law enforcement, corrections, fire, and say, you know what, if you're having a struggle, come see me.
It's unfortunate, and it goes back to saying if we didn't do it, no one else would. We see the most horrific, tragic scenes that nobody can comprehend that's not walking in these shoes. It's awful.
That's right.
And that's the other side of the coin where you have to watch your officer's mental health. You have to check in with them. You got to make sure you find out what's going on with them. Because like I said, Bill, you do see the most horrific, tragic scenes.
Yeah.
And it does take a toll on an officer. And, you know, this job isn't for everybody. You have to have pretty thick skin to do it. You're going to see things that you never thought you would ever see in your entire life, ever. And you see people at their absolute lowest sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it certainly, you know, when you have that burden on your shoulders, officers tend to bring it home to their families. And, you know, then their spouses, their families, their kids, if you're having a bad day, they're going to hear about it. They're going to, and it's hard to explain to them what you just, I just left a death or a car accident or something like that. And you got to try to train your brain to switch it off when you go home to your family. And it's difficult.
And you're exactly right. You're 100% right. And I think from the old days to now, they expected officers to be superhumans and not, you know, even management. There was a guy who was a great cop. He had witnessed an awful thing and it stuck with him and he started drinking and he got help. But people have to understand, I mean, command staff too, do understand, but some of the commanders, if they see something, walk up to somebody and say, you all right? You know, I did that more than once.
We're trained, they train us to look for signs of what's going on, you know, if you see signs of something going on in performance or, you know, the way the person looks or the way the person's talking. You know, there's triggers where command staff and sergeants and even peers, fellow officers, can step in and say, "Hey, I noticed this is going on with you. What's going on? Are you all right?
Yeah, you okay?
Yeah.
And you know, it's a tough. Everybody thinks, you know, I don't think a lot of people fully comprehend, Chief, the weight of this job.
Yeah.
I mean, you go from sitting in the car, you know, to a fight in progress and you get there and there's weapons or whatever, or a domestic dispute that whether I have one that haunts me every time I talk about that. We hit the door. The mother was in rough shape, the boyfriend, father, whatever. But what got me were the kids were cowered in the corner. I thank my...
And that stuck time. With you.
Yeah.
That stuck with you. It's images like that that stick. And, you know, there's one battle that, and I don't want to digress anymore.
No, fine.
But there's one battle that first responders are fighting, and it's a chapter and section. I think it's 111F for, you know, IOD, you know, and when you think an officer or a firefighter is IOD, you think maybe they pulled a muscle, they broke an arm, they fell downstairs, they slipped on ice. In the definition under 111F, there's nothing that says about the mental injury.
Right. Yeah.
The mental injury, the cumulative through the years of all these things, whether you're going to homicides or you're going to human trafficking or abused children, these are cumulative. These things add up in the minds of these firefighters and officers and paramedics. But that's not defined under officer injured on duty.
Yeah.
When actually it is, in my opinion, this is my opinion.
It's the police version of military PTSD.
Correct. But it's not defined. It's not recognized under.
See, look at how many years it took the military to acknowledge it.
Right.
I mean, I saw situations when I was in, you know, a guy, you know, sit there crying, you know, over NOM or something, just start crying. And the sergeant say, suck it up, you know.
Yeah. That was the old way of doing it.
Yeah. But, you know, it's young guys, and you're not as young as you used to be, but.
No, not by any stretch.
Compared to me, you're a kid. But I show you my socks because they're older than you are, but I can't keep my leg that high. But you're aware of this. You young executives in law enforcement, now we have to work with the legislators to understand this needs to be incorporated in this.
Yeah, it's not, you know, when you hear injury, you think of a physical injury, not a mental injury.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I'll give you an example, real life example. I parked I have a handicap placard. So I parked the guy, and this guy says to me, "You don't look handicapped to me." I was trying to get my oxygen machine out of the back, you know, my breathing machine.
Yep.
And I said, "Disabilities come in many packages," and just walked away. That's why I made up my mind. You can't argue with a fool or a drunk. So
no.
But
explain to anybody.
Yeah. But I think what you're saying is true. And if you want to talk to people or whatever, any way I can assist or be an advocate for you at adding that, the mental stress that public service first responders go through should be added as a disability factor. And with all the technology today and the psychology and all that, they can nail it.
They can test for that.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're almost, we're right in the middle of winter. And every time I go out and it's cold, I just thank God I'm not walking North Street again. Cause that's a freaking wind tunnel, that place.
Yeah. It's definitely a tough spot to be in when you're walking the beat.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But you know, what you've done with the manpower you have, in my opinion, you got bikes back out, you got downtown patrol, you got all these things going. Now, can they all converge if you need them to? Yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it's about. And you've taken that bow by the horn, Chief, and I think handled it.
I did. And, you know, I had many, many conversations with Mayor Marchetti, who's thank God, supported me in this new thing that I'm trying. It's not really new, Bill. It's something that's always been there, but it's the buy-in for the officers to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to, you know, really get the officers out there. Like you just said, you know, I have several different units that are collateral to patrol. You know, the anti-crime units out there, the bike patrol, the downtown beat. And when I say downtown, it's not just North Street. You're talking, you know, from McKay, the Common, South Street, that way. These are officers that are willing to go out there and you know, talk with the retailers, knock on the doors, say hello, we're out here. My push was, you know, little to no tolerance. You know, just go out there and you know, I'm not saying you have to go out there and arrest everybody for everything,
right?
But you know, do something, you know. Don't ignore it. You know, we got you know, we go through waves where we have a task force for officers that are under the co-responders. We have co-responders that go out we have officers that go out like the co-responders to deal with some mental health issues. So all these little teams, these little pockets of teams, hopefully is making a difference. From what I hear at the retail downtown with the mayor, you know, there is still some serious problem spots that we're addressing. But for the most part, a good percentage of the retailers are happy with what they're seeing. So that makes me feel good. It makes my department feel good that we're actually maybe doing something right in the right direction.
No, and again, it's experimentation. What is working?
What's going to work?
New generation. I mean, we're facing issues that we never had to face. Kids used to run up to cops. They're not running up to us anymore.
But you know, this is again, this is the funnel that I was talking about earlier, where there's a lot of homeless in Pittsfield, and that's not criminal by any stretch of the imagination. It's when they do criminal activity is when we get involved. But we oftentimes are finding ourselves on a constant basis trespassing homeless people from different stores or properties or moving them along. And, you know, sometimes they're out there with open containers. Sometimes they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. We're really trying to focus on that portion of the city and try to get some, generate some more revenue, try to get some more people. You know, I hear often, constantly, don't go to Pittsfield, it's not safe downtown.
Yeah, I heard that.
You know, and that's, you know, like the mayor has always said, we need to change that narrative. You know, so.
And again, you may disagree, but I don't think you will. There's homeless, there's mental health, there's addiction. These are as much public health issues.
These are systemic issues that we can't do ourselves. We don't have the capacity, the staff, the resources. Although I put in place different.
Yes, you have.
The help, but it's just a force multiplier for what the resources that we have in the community. And that's what we got to get out. Those are the people that have to get out of their offices, onto the street, talking to these people, giving them help. I don't know. I might be going down a rabbit hole. I apologize.
No, you're going. Chief, I'm going to tell you what Stankiewicz said one time in the Detective Bureau. We wanted to bring in a coffee pot. And Stankiewicz said, a coffee pot? I want you out in the community. Have your coffee out there. The only crime that if you brought a coffee pot in here would be is you people sitting in here drinking coffee and getting paid by the city.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you could say that today, but back then, it made a ton of sense.
It makes sense. It certainly makes sense. You know, we have a ton of resources out there. I don't think we're using them to our ability. You know, and like I said, everything falls down to the police to handle.
Right. Everything.
I get constant emails, whether it be from the city government, you know, their constituents, you know, what can you do about this? Well, it's not really a police problem, but this is what I'll do for you. I'll put you in connection with so-and-so. So I find myself doing that a lot. But if it's criminal, that's my game. I'll take care of it.
Well, before we go, and I will say, you and I were talking at the break, and I, a good friend of mine has passed, Lou Markham, and as the chief said, a bigger supporter of the police and knowledgeable, because he would get in the cars and ride around and see what they were facing. Lou was a big supporter of police. He was a wonderful guy. He was a coach. More people know him as Coach than Lou.
Yeah, Coach.
True story. So I said, did you hear Lou Markham died? And they said, oh, is that Coach's brother? No, I said, that was Coach.
That was the man. Yeah, that was the man.
Yeah, Chief, I'm always here for you. If you want to get anything out, just have your assistant text me or one of your whatever. And let you guys and gals know you're doing a good job. It's a tough job. And like you said so many times during this interview, unless you've walked in those shoes, don't be too quick to criticize.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an easy job. And everybody tends to think they could do it. But you and I know a lot of try and a lot go.
And, you know, I'm not looking for sympathy or empathy or anything.
No. Just understanding
for what, you know. Have patience. I tell my officers to have patience with the people you deal with. I just ask the same from the community. Have patience with our officers, because you don't know the call prior to yours, what they were on. You know?
No. And like I said, when you get to be an old man like me, you'll sit and listen to the scanner and say, now, you know, oh boy, I've been there, or I've had this, or I've had, but as generations have changed, so has that. And that's why I have such utmost respect for anybody who puts on the uniform and does it every day. And the chief also made a good point. The trauma that you see, and some of it what police officers see, is trauma. It's accumulative. It's not a one-time deal. If you're on for 30 years, in 30 years, you're going to see a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess if you ever want to put together something or talk with somebody to put that part of that disability, I'd be 100% behind you.
I think, you know, it's something that Mass Chiefs were talking about to get into legislation. I know people have brought it up before, but
yeah.
it's really bubbling up now for officers because they held back for so long.
Yeah.
That it really should be, at least in the Commonwealth, recognized.
Let me know, buddy.
All right. I'll
be there with you. Chief Thomas Dolly, thank you for your service and your sacrifice, because that's the other part of these jobs. With the service comes some sacrifice. They don't always talk about that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right. To you and to my audience, God bless. And today, make somebody's life a little easier. Smile. Give them a call. Remember. We're all in this together, so let's try to help each other out. Chief, I'm always here for you. You know that.
Happy New Year, and good luck to you.
Thank you. You too.
Yes, sir.